Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord.
Beloved children of God, amid the countless things that human beings cannot fully comprehend about God, there stands this. God loves us as to bathe us with grace and feed us with mercy and forgive our sins. Confident in the love of God, let us pray together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget. Cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, blessed are those who recognize the wisdom of God and aim to shape their lives around its truth. In Christ, God forgives and restores us to the way of trust and mercy. Go in peace in the firm assurance of pardon, so that today and every day, your path may be strong and free. Amen. Will you please join us in singing the hymn, "I Sing the Mighty Power of God," hymn number 188, found in your worship bulletin online.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church. We're so glad that you've joined us, and we pray that you're all safe and well. Wherever you are very welcome here. If you'd like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. My name is Stephanie Paulsell, the interim Pusey minister in the Memorial Church. Our service this morning is led by our associate minister, the Reverend Alana Sullivan, and the Reverend Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow. The first lesson is read by Larry Gia, a member of our student advisory board, and the second lesson is read by our former seminarian, Grace Killian. Edward Jones, Gund University organist and choirmaster, leads us in the hymns, and the anthems are drawn from the Harvard University Choir's 2007 CD, Sing the Glory. The prelude and postlude were recorded at First Plymouth Church in Lincoln, Nebraska this past week by David Von Baron, assistant university organist and choirmaster. David will give a virtual recital this afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time from First Plymouth Church. Please check the bulletin for information about how to access the live stream of David's concert. Our preacher this morning is Sergeant Kevin Bryant, an affiliated minister in the Memorial Church and a member since 1991 of the Harvard University Police Department, where he serves as the Security Services Coordinator, the Protestant Chaplain, and the Diversity and Community Liaison. Kevin Bryant received a Master of Arts in Pastoral Studies in 2017 from Andover Newton Theological School. His approach to both policing and to ministry is grounded in relationship and marked by respect for difference and dignity for all. We're fortunate to have his leadership in our community. This summer has been quite busy for Kevin and his wife, Terry, who recently became grandparents to the lovely Hazel Ruby Bryant. Hazel comes into our unsettled world, as all babies do, trailing clouds of glory and making us long for new ways of living that do justice to the hope her life embodies. I think you will hear the joy and hope she has brought to her grandfather in Kevin's voice today. Kevin, we are so grateful to you for being with us. Welcome to you and to all your family. I invite you to check the bulletin for information on our summer programming and how to access it online. Church School for Children, our virtual coffee hour, and our reading group continue for 1 week more. The reading group will gather this Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. to discuss an interview with Evelyn Hammonds, the Barbara Gutman Rosencrantz Professor of the History of Science, on how racism is shaping the coronavirus pandemic. Next Sunday will be our last Sunday service of the term. We'll return to the radio on August 23rd, just as students begin returning to campus for what will be an unusual semester, with less than 40% of our students studying here and the rest spread out across the world. We're making plans for a vibrant online life together in the Memorial Church and hope you'll join us in participating in our intergenerational community of worship, service, and learning. Later in August, we'll be sending out our schedule of events for the fall. If you're not on our mailing list but would like to be, please sign up on the homepage of our website. I end our greetings this day with sad news. Cleo Griffin, a student in Harvard College, died last week after an extended illness. Cleo was a history concentrator who lived in Quincy House, where she was a beloved member of the community. A volunteer at the Harvard Homeless Shelter, Cleo was also part of the Chan Stride Scholars Program, a community of undergraduates committed to service and social justice. She published op-eds urging Harvard to live up to its principles on labor practices and wrote about student protests on racial justice in the Crimson. She aspired to be a social worker after finishing her Harvard degree. Cleo's mom, Madeline Griffin, wrote to the Quincy community, "The world has lost a funny, intelligent, but most of all, kind young woman. She urged us all to turn toward the world and one another with compassion, as her daughter did. Clea was obviously the kind of person who inspired those around her to be kinder, more compassionate, more observant of what those around her were going through. Her family and friends are going to miss her very much. We have resources for grief and mourning on our website, and the pastoral staff of the church is available for anyone who would like to talk. At this moment in the service, when we pass God's peace to one another, let's remember Cleo and be inspired by her to move through the world more attentively, more compassionately, and more generously. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Our offering this morning goes to the work of the Memorial Church Grants Committee, which funds local organizations that serve the needs of their communities. The Grants Committee supports groups that help immigrants begin their lives here, that help families support the education and well-being of their children, that support women in their search for work. Sharing our resources is another way of passing God's peace. There's a donate button at the top right-hand corner of our homepage where you may leave your gift. Let us with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
Lord, how long? A reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, beginning at the 46th verse. They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, beginning at the third verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Here ends the lesson.
People of God, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us join our hearts and minds in one spirit, offering to God our prayers of intercession, that in doing so, we would come to know and experience the power of God's merciful love. Like Bartimaeus, we call out to God, asking for mercy for ourselves, our neighbors, and our world. Almighty and loving God, you are our life. You brought us into being, crafting us in your image. We confess that we often fail to treat one another and all of creation as a precious gift. The world trembles from the effects of global warming. Every nation continues to reel with the coronavirus, pitting neighbor against neighbor, resulting in the least among us having to bear the brunt of yet another disaster. We pray, Lord, that when our leaders fail us, you would give us the will and power to fill the gap, to care for each other, to widen our hearts, to love beyond walls and borders. O great God, in creating the earth, you provided us with the blessing of knowledge, that through learning, we would come to glorify your handiwork. Like all of your blessings, we have worked to commoditize and politicize education. Help us, gracious God, to free ourselves from this sin. In our pursuit of learning, we give thanks for all who teach and for the opportunity to learn. As we discover the realities of education in a pandemic, we pray especially this day for first-year international students at the college who will not have the chance to be on campus this fall. And we ask, God, that your wisdom be upon all students and educators at Harvard and beyond who are having to make challenging decisions about their futures. Our help is indeed in the name of our Lord, Jesus, the Christ, who offers healing in all times and places. We, O Christ, are in desperate need of a restoration of our health. White supremacy and racism have ruptured livelihoods and ended lives. As mothers, fathers, siblings, and neighbors work to put our prayers into action, we pray that you would protect and guide them and us. Jesus, we pray also that your healing presence would tend to the worries, cares, and losses of those whose employment is in jeopardy. Too many are caught between medical bills and grocery bills, having to choose which need is greater. Son of David, have mercy on us. Eternal Spirit, you dare to go with us into every crook and cranny of life, comforting us with your presence, reminding us that we are not alone. Our advocate and counselor, move among us and be with the sick and the dying, the lonely and the lost, and all who are grieving, especially the residents of Quincy House and the family of Harvard College student Cleo Griffin, who has died. O breath of God, come among your weary faithful, for we are sorely in need of your love. Give us the strength to be your household of faith, that we might one day, like Bartimaeus, proclaim your goodness with our lives. Let us know that our faith has and will make us well. This is our prayer to you, Good Shepherd. Hear what we have spoken and what words remain unsaid on our hearts. These words we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, saints. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Life is a journey that we all must travel. It's filled with lessons, hardships, heartaches, joys, celebrations, and special moments that will cause us to fulfill our purpose in life and ultimately lead us to our destination. Spiritually, we travel from justification to sanctification into glorification. Amen? However, in our travels through this life, we will encounter many trials and tribulations that will test our courage, challenge our strengths, wreak havoc on our weaknesses, and try our faith. Here in our text, we find Jesus, and he's on a journey out of Jericho, and he's headed to Jerusalem. As Jesus leaves Jericho, he encounters a blind man and is traveling through life, sitting on the side of the road. My brothers and sisters, in the land of the free, home of the brave, in these United States of America, many peoples have found themselves sitting on the side of the road. And let's not be naive about this. There are people all over this world that have been left sitting on the side of the road. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, there he is, sitting by the side of the road. In Aramaic, Bartimaeus means unclean, impure, unchaste, or abominable. But the Greek version of the name means son, person of honor. And this would indicate the man's inner nature and destiny. And by giving us the name Bartimaeus with its double meaning, Mark could be telling us that here is a man who is supposed to be a man of honor and dignity, but living in a state of dishonor and shame. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, sitting by the side of the road. You see, he's also identified by his condition. You know, it's a terrible thing to be identified by your condition. What's that person's name that stutters? And what's so-and-so name that has those seizures? My brothers and sisters, here in these United States of America, people are also identified by their condition. And that condition is the color of their skin. It has become a condition because of systemic racism in the land of the free, home of the brave. Because of his condition, Bartimaeus was prevented from finding and performing a job in order to earn a living. There were no programs for the blind, no social security or charitable institutions that would help him. Bartimaeus was totally dependent upon the sympathy and generosity of others in order to survive. Bartimaeus lived a life of wretched poverty, and he was always treated as less than. You know, my brothers and sisters, I've been sitting by the side of the road many times, and let me tell you what happens to you. While you're sitting there on the side of the road, frustration begins to build because life is going on. While you're sitting on the side of the road, you watch opportunities pass you by. Life is passing you by. And discouragement and disappointment show up while you're sitting on the side of the road. Hopelessness and despair soon follow while you're sitting on the side of the road. Now, Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road, and he was lonely. And loneliness isn't being about being alone. It's about not feeling connected. Over 127,000 United States citizens were imprisoned during World War II. Their condition? Japanese ancestry. President Roosevelt signed an executive order in February 1942, ordering the relocation of all Americans of Japanese ancestry to concentration camps in the United States. It made no difference that many had never even been to Japan. Even Japanese-American veterans of World War I were forced to leave their homes. Land of the free, home of the brave, these Japanese-American citizens were left sitting by the side of the road. President Andrew Jackson signed the Indian Removal Act into law in 1830 that relocated Native Americans in the Southeast in order to make room for white settlements. And between 1945 and 1968, federal laws terminated more than 100 tribal nations' recognition and placed them under state jurisdiction, contributing to the loss of millions of additional acres of tribal land. These Native American, these indigenous peoples of this country were left sitting by the side of the road. Bartimaeus had been shunned by society most of his life. When you are shunned by a people, it creates an absence that is difficult to describe because there is nothing but silence, a frightening, weary silence, because others refuse to speak, to acknowledge your presence, to treat you as though you matter. And there is no way to respond. A response assumes a listener. How do you respond when no one's listening? Words do not matter. George Floyd's words did not matter when that evil man that was impersonating a police officer had his knee on his neck for 8 minutes and 48 seconds. Once again, in these United States of America, I find myself and other black and brown peoples sitting by the side of the road. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the side of the road when he heard a sound, a commotion. And he heard the crowds pass by and he heard the excited voices of the people. He heard those that follows Jesus and they were making all this noise. You know, you can't follow Christ and be silent. And when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the crowd was not going to do a thing for Bartimaeus. They had the nerve to tell him, "Man, be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for you, you worthless beggar. You'll never amount to much of anything, so be content with the donations you've already received today. And here's another dollar or two for your cup. Now quit all that yelling." So what does Bartimaeus do? He cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He is louder and more persistent. Bartimaeus suddenly realizes that this is the chance of a lifetime, and so he seizes the moment. He wants to make sure that Jesus doesn't pass him by. You see, saints, Bartimaeus was not facing a fact of life when others told him to be quiet. He was simply facing a problem, and there was something he could do about this thing, this problem. Do I keep quiet or do I make as much noise as possible until I get Jesus' attention? And he chose the latter. The negative discouragements of others he took that and turned it around and to his own advantage and started yelling all the more. He figured if those around him were telling him to be quiet, then they must have figured Jesus might be able to hear him. And therefore he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, those people that were around Bartimaeus, they could have led him by the hand of Jesus, but they didn't. They didn't even want Jesus to know he was there. You see, in order to move beyond your particular situation, you've got to decide to do whatever you can do for you. And be prepared to go against the crowd to reach your potential. Protest. Reevaluate the way policing is done in these United States. Abolish Confederate flags. Get rid of some of these statues. In order for all lives to matter, black and brown lives must matter as well. In the crowd, they call the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He's calling you." Now here are the very people that a moment ago told him to be quiet but ignored him most of his life, shunned him, and were yelling at him to shut his mouth and be quiet. And now they see Bartimaeus has got the attention of Jesus and that Jesus has commanded him to come to him. They now know that Bartimaeus is going to be blessed. He's going to have a one-on-one audience with the Lord. Now all of a sudden people want to help him get up, fix his clothes, dust him off. You know, it's amazing how people will put you down, leave you alone, walk out on you, and turn their back on you when things seem to get dark. But when Jesus starts blessing you, they want to be right there with you. So throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus sprang up and came to Jesus. Did you notice what Bartimaeus did when Jesus called him? He threw off his cloak. Why do you think he did that? This cloak was the only personal possession this blind man could call his own. He probably sat on it while he begged. He used it to wrap up against the weather, and it might have been his blanket at night. It was a tangible source of security, and yet at the same time, it was a constant reminder of his blindness. And by throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus was saying, "I'm trusting in his ability to change my circumstances, and I'm turning my back on my old lifestyle." And he jumped up and began to walk in faith. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. You see, Jesus didn't just give Bartimaeus what he needed. He gave him so much more. You see, Jesus doesn't just meet your needs. He exceeds your needs. Bartimaeus' life wasn't changed just because he had the eyes to see, but even more so because he had faith. And the last thing we're told about Bartimaeus is he followed Jesus down the road. We are living in the country of the blind. Don't be like those who won't see. Don't be like those that refuse to see. My brothers and sisters, at the very least, admit your inability to see. so Jesus can open your eyes. And once your eyes are open, you need to make sure that in these United States of America, no person of color is ever left sitting by the side of the road. Amen? My brothers and sisters, go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage, because today is a special day. Today, we are a step closer to what we should and will become. God, we thank you for giving us another chance to become a better individual, another chance to give and experience love. Thank you, Lord, for giving us health. Thank you for the food you provide. Thank you for the energy that feeds our soul, the sun that warms our bodies, in the air that fills our lungs. And when we are outside of this church, let us remember that we are Christians. Let us remember the strength and the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted and honor everyone. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.